8:44. Alabama has passed the strongest abortion law in the US. You may have heard that recently, as it made it a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion at any time during a pregnancy, even in cases of rape and incest, with exceptions made only when there's a serious health risk to the woman who's pregnant. While a woman seeking the procedure would not be criminally liable, physicians could face up to 99 years in prison for providing an abortion. Let's go on the scene to the US to hear more from Mike Kaysen, state government reporter for AL.com and Alabama Media Group. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
And there's been a lot of quite fierce reporting on this issue. It's certainly been a divisive one. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz actually said that the abortion bans not only in Alabama but also in Georgia have been more restrictive than prohibitions in about half of the Muslim-majority countries in the Middle East. Can you actually just recap what Alabama's newly passed bill entails?
Well, it seeks almost a flat ban on abortions. Excuse me. The legislature, for the past 8 years or so, since Republicans took control, they've passed about a half dozen bills to put restrictions on abortions, regulations, tighter regulations. This year, they changed course and said we're going to go for a flat out ban, and it passed the legislature overwhelmingly.
What was the situation before, though? So, let's say you're pregnant, you're about to have an abortion, and then this bill goes through. How different is the situation? Was there no prohibition before?
No, in Alabama, as you know, and all throughout the U.S., abortion is legal, and you know, states can place some restrictions on abortion, but not before the time of viability. So, in Alabama, the law was abortions were legal up to 20 weeks into a pregnancy.
Now, I mean, Haaretz made the comparison with Muslim-majority countries, but this isn't really inspired in any way by Islam, so I'm not really sure. I mean, I can see where it's going with the conversation, just about sort of conservative religious ideas making their way into law, but this is presumably mainly Christian-inspired.
That's correct. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think that's where it comes from, is it's the idea that the unborn child is a person from the moment of conception, and that's what the sponsors say. That's the point they want to make, and that's why they said we don't want to have any exceptions, because even an unborn child that's the product of rape or incest is still a child deserving of being protected.
And that was
certainly the most controversial part of the bill.
Yeah, well, straight away there were a lot of memes doing the rounds on social media, making comparisons even with the dystopian novel Handmaid's Tale, which obviously has been a very popular TV show as well, because of the way that portrays a religious fundamentalist society actually taking hold in the United States, or at least in part of the United States. So, is this a problem? Is this a fierce debate that's happening now in the United States where people are questioning how far religion should be playing a role in deciding legislation?
I think it is, yes. I think that's been the case for a while. On this particular issue, President Trump's appointed two justices to the U.S. Supreme Court, and there's a feeling now that they would be more likely to overturn Roe v. Wade, which was the 1973 decision that legalized abortion. And I think, you know, that's what brought this issue to the forefront. But it's certainly rooted in the conflict between how much legislation should be influenced by, you know, specific religious beliefs.
For some reason, I'm thinking of what's been a rather striking scene outside the United States Embassy here in Seoul. There's been a giant-sized rainbow flag, and it kind of makes me feel that the mood must be very divided, even within government in the United States, on issues like this. What's your sense on the ground there?
I think that's accurate. I mean, gay marriage is still an issue that comes up in Alabama, even though, you know, like abortion, it's legal nationally now, but there's still a lot of disagreement about that. The legislature this week or last week passed a bill to change the way marriage licenses are issued so that the judges that issue the licenses don't have to put their stamp of approval on them anymore. It's in practical matters, it doesn't really change much, but it was sort of a nod to the people that are opposed to gay marriage to say, well, you don't have to endorse it, even though, you know, that's technically part of your job to issue marriage licenses.
And just sticking back with the abortion issue again, I mean, with several other states, Georgia, Ohio, Missouri, passing abortion laws in recent weeks, what does this mean for that very famous Roe versus Wade case that reached a conclusion at the Supreme Court in 1973? Because it can be confusing for outsiders, I think, in countries that are relatively small, to understand the difference between state laws and Supreme Court rulings.
Okay, well, the states can Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, and it was the case concerned a Texas law that banned abortions, and it said, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states cannot take away a woman's right to an abortion. They can, you know, place some limits on it, but they can't. But up to the point that the unborn child is viable, the state can't just flatly ban abortions, and that's been the law of the land ever since. And there's been a lot of state laws passed to challenge various aspects of that. And the Supreme Court, I think, has only ruled a couple of times on major cases. I think the last one may have been in 92. And, you know, it's pretty much been nobody's really thought that there was a serious chance to overturn it until until President Trump has made these two appointments and, you know, changed the nature of the court somewhat. And nobody knows that will happen. But that's what sort of fueled this move by a lot of states to try to pass laws that, in hopes of getting the challenges to the Supreme Court. Alabama already has one law that restricts a second trimester abortion procedure that they've appealed to the Supreme Court. It was blocked in lower courts, and it was appealed to the Supreme Court. So there's already cases in the pipeline to challenge Roe v. Wade. The new Alabama law is just the most direct, you know, I guess the purest ban on abortion that any state has tried.
For those who insist women should still have the choice, what options do they have at this point? Are they legally challenging what's happening in Alabama?
Yes. A lawsuit was already filed late last week by the ACLU of Alabama and Planned Parenthood. They filed a lawsuit challenging the Alabama law. The expectation is it'll be blocked. It was not supposed to go into effect until November anyway. So as far as a practical effect, I don't think there's any real effect now. But it's a concern for women. And one of the arguments that the opponents of the bill made is that this is going to affect women, low-income women or medium-income women, because they made the argument that people with money will always have access to abortion because they can go to another state. But it's the people that, you know, people of limited means that rely on these abortion clinics in Alabama, you know, if the case arises where that's the decision they choose to make.
Right. Actually, there was the report recently, wasn't there, though, that in Georgia's case, women could be punished even if they go to another state to have an abortion. Isn't that right?
I didn't know about that.
Right. Okay. Well, that was some of the reporting, that they were trying to limit even the ability to go to another state to have an abortion. But as things stand, just to clarify then, for Alabama, you can go to another state and have the procedure.
Yes, as far as I know, I don't remember that issue really ever being raised, although you would think it would have been, but I don't remember being raised, because the law applies to the doctor and not the woman.
Right, so that's the big distinction compared with some of the other legislation elsewhere. Have there been some physicians who've come out in defiance, though, saying they'll just carry it out anyway, or implicitly suggesting that?
No, I don't think there's. I don't think they've come out and saying they would defy the law. There's an abortion doctor in Huntsville who's at one of the three Alabama abortion clinics. She was one of the very outspoken opponents of the law. She spoke at a public hearing on the bill in the legislature, and she's one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit that was just filed. So, the medical community has, at least to some extent, has spoken out against it. Well, I don't want to say the medical community, but she's one doctor who was out front against it. And the three abortion clinics in Alabama are all plaintiffs in the lawsuit to block it.
Understand. So doctors are in a very precarious position there if they want to carry out this this procedure, facing up to 99 years in prison, as we mentioned before. It's a bill that was passed by the Republican majority in the House and Senate against opposition from Democrats. Do you see this being a definitive issue going into the next U.S. election, or one of the definitive issues?
I would say one of the definitive issues, but it's been an issue that's divided the parties for a long time, so that's not new. But maybe it is. You know, it may be more a focus of the next campaign because, you know, because I keep saying because President Trump's appointed two justices perceived to be more conservative or, you know, more likely to have a different view on abortion rights. Yes, I think it's an issue. Democrats right. are generally for abortion rights, and Republicans are generally more anti-abortion, although that's, you know, that doesn't apply to everybody, but that's been the party's position generally.
Mike Kaysen, state government reporter for AL.com and Alabama Media Group. Thank you for giving us a sense on the scene in Alabama right now.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Alex.
And, abortion is a highly divisive issue. And it can be difficult for any one person to demonstrate sufficient love for both unborn children and the women who sometimes face impossible choices. But I think that's the defining factor, showing love. If you're not showing love for forms of life across the board, then you're not looking very good in this debate. That's our show for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 7:05. Thank you to our producer Christina So, our writers Jack Young-mi, Im Young-ju and Leah Young. Coming up next, our latest news headlines and Inside Korea with Yerika Park.